American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting for the Internet for Monday, January the 3rd, 2011. One more year, and it's going to be like Battletech 2012. I mean, we're in the future. This is it. Everyone over the age of 30 is all like, well, here we are, cyberpunk future. We made it. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand, just like we have for like a billion years now, since the last century, for free speech. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to SeanSean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast. It's still free. We're still doing it. And somewhere out there, there's some government three-letter agencies that are like, Jesus Christ, these guys just keep going. You know, like, wow, we got to get the new guy to bet us how long these guys are going to last. And when he says 6 months, it'll be great. And they will all be able to listen to us on Rad Radio Talk, RedMercury.se, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley. And every Thursday night, you can join those three-letter acronyms in Second Life Node Archers at grid coordinates 155-74-666. And with us tonight, we have Agent Dakava, Psy Tentacle, Xerxes, Dark One, Havy Hero, Jonas Vincent, Cade Nero, Max the Token Cat, Mindy Steric, Morph Sky Tower, Nig Nig, Raymond Hewitt, which is very Catholian. I like that. Nig Nig. Raymond Thorpe, of course, I'm probably saying it wrong. Raymond Thorpe, Side Slide. Well, good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. And Tackcraft, who's done some lovely redecorating. And Yuko Saki, who, of course, you know, he is the hookup with all the various dangerous left side of your nose kind of groups that might be in Hack Canada. Maybe. We don't know. We don't know. I don't want to out the guy. But could be that guy. And let's not forget the all-important driving force between Rant Media, the man who is, in fact, the leader of the entire Pirate Party. Well, the radio show. My beautiful and talented, soon-to-be-in-prison co-host, Samarian. How are you doing?
A happy future new year.
Happy temporal shifting and cross decades. This is like, and we just had that lunar thing where there was like the lunar eclipse and the, Jesus Christ, you know? Right.
It's all aligning. It's coming.
Where are the Mayans now? That's what I need
converging.
To know. You know, where is it at? How was your Festivus, man? How was the big seasonal goodness? How'd you do?
Together with the family. I never do well on Christmas. I get little things for Christmas. I usually buy the big things myself throughout the year when I need them or really want them, and Christmas just fills in the little gaps, I find.
Yes, well, I mean, one does need socks. You know, I mean, do you want
to
buy socks?
On the socks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to buy socks, personally. So I think that, and I don't even really understand why they make white socks.
Yeah.
Like, why do they make white socks? Like, why would you buy white socks? I mean, when you're a kid, you know, they give them to you.
Anymore. It doesn't really make sense.
Well, why even have white socks? It's retarded. It's just like nobody uses them anymore. It's like, they stop making 8-tracks, guys. 8-tracks, white socks. Let's just move forwards, okay? Like, I don't understand it. Some people, you know, a good point is made inside the chat where they talk about wool socks. You know, it's a good idea. Some people can't wear wool next to their skin, though, right? And, Sim, what's the vegan standpoint on wool?
Because it's made of animals.
It's made from animals, not made of animals.
Yes.
Yeah, so is wool cool?
From an animal, an enslaved animal that
right.
has been genetically modified so that they can't survive on their own without being sheared by humans.
Right.
So let's... So we'll keep it at no.
So that's a no. Tick. I'm just going to assume
that's
that you're against
no.
it unless you tell me otherwise. That's how I'm going to presume.
If it involves
animals in any way. What if they're happy sheep? What if you can prove, like, you know how they have organically grown food?
They're happy slaves.
No. Happy slaves. These sheep, they can't better. Exist. They can't, well, to be fair, because of the industrialization of the planet, right, we can't really have roving bands of sheep anymore. Not really. And even if you could, let's say you had wild sheep. Well, no, let's say you, because a lot of the domestic
sheep. Of them as wild. We have wolves, wild deer.
So
there could
therefore,
be wild sheep and cows and horses again. We just don't think of them like that. They're ours. They're humans now. Human animals now. They can't live in the wild. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Because that's why the big thing about, you know, this whale, we can't release this killer whale back into the wild because clearly it would die. Which I'm like, I don't know, man. Like,
no,
it's kind of a whale.
Yeah.
You know, like, kind of probably would figure that shit out. And if not, maybe some other, maybe you let him out with some other whales. And if the other whales are like, fuck this whale, and they kill him, then that's, I guess that's what happens.
That's the way it goes.
But if I had the choice between, you know,
entertainment.
Yeah, it's like if my choice was to be locked inside of a cell that's 6 feet by 6 feet by 4 feet, or be thrown out into the middle of the Sahara Desert, I'd probably take the desert. You know what I mean? Like,
there's a chance.
There's a small
slim,
chance.
But
it's like cryogenics.
You can make it to water.
Right. It's cryogenics.
That's right.
You know, I'll take a small, very small chance. Because no matter, even the most skeptical atheist such as yourself, Sim. Even the most, I almost posted that I actually technically fit the description of an atheist. I went to Wikipedia. This will blow you away.
Yeah.
I went to Wikipedia, and what the actual definition is a person who does not believe in a deity. That's what it is.
That's correct.
It's
not much to it.
No, so I actually
believe in gods.
No. Now we're having trouble with the word gods.
Okay, deities.
Okay. Deities. I don't buy deities. I think there's a possibility that there could be outworld intelligences that we don't understand, but I'm not going to call it a deity, okay? I'm going to say that there's probably some higher, maybe that I also believe in good and evil, okay? So that'll throw everyone for a big wow, but they're like, wait, how does this, well, it's like whatever rules and physics kind of govern us as beings probably affect these other outworld creatures on some level. You know what I mean? So I don't think, like, calling something a god and bowing down to it is a little bit weird. I'm not comfortable with that. But I think that, you know, it's okay to be like, you know, hey, super malevolent being that I don't really understand that's probably really advanced, but you're good. I think that's cool, and thanks for all the help. I think that's okay. I think that's okay. And I'm not sure on the whole heaven-hell thing either. I'm not really buying that one too much, because there's some shit going on there. And plus,
probably not.
Well, I believe... See, how about this? I believe in ghosts.
Went up into the clouds now, and we found out there's nothing in the clouds. There's no people with wings.
Right.
There's no guy that sits on a throne. We've dug into the Earth. We've measured the magnetic core of the Earth. There's not really, you know, demons that could survive down there with pitchforks and people burning alive.
It's
and,
nuts.
In the pits of lava.
It's crazy.
We know more about the Earth now.
Well, we do. So, but what you know, of course, the way they dodge that is they go, well, that's like a locational thing. You know what I mean? Like, if a guy saw, hi, I'm a shepherd 7,000 years ago, and I see an Apache gunship, how am I going to describe that? I have no words for that, right? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So you're going to say, oh, it's a giant metal locust. It looked like a bug, kind of. And, you know, if you looked at it, it went, well, yeah, I guess. Sort of. So it gets kind of squirrely like that. But the point here is I think that, you know, I believe in good and evil, but I'm not going to go all the way out and say I believe in deities as such. So technically, I'm very hard to put into a box, but I suppose, because I'll claim to be a Christian as well, but I suppose you can't really claim to be a Christian and an actually, you can, because a Christian, by definition, is a follower of Christ. That's where the term Christian comes from. So if you're
it that way, you could twist it that
you
way.
Could, I mean, okay, yeah, granted. I've got like 8,000 RPM on spin on this here, okay? And then, you know, and the nice thing about Christianity is there's so many sects.
If you believed in him as a human being?
But pardon me? Well, that's just it. There's so many different sects, right? So
you
can have like, there's billions of them, right?
Disagree with you. Split.
Yeah, right. So I could split off and be like a subsect of a subsect of a subsect and still. And the great thing is in the Bible, there's that whole thing. If somebody says they're a Christian, you can't tell them they're not. That's how I screwed the guys on the air. Remember when I went on with the satellite, was arguing with the fundies?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I was like, well, actually, I'm a Christian. And they're fucked. They're like, oh.
Yep.
oh, we're fucked.
can't say he's not.
So I could actually go to a, and once you go to like an atheist, you say, well, actually, technically, I'm also an atheist because I don't really, like, we're having linguistic problems about the word God. Okay, that's the problem.
Yes.
Like, the actual mythical description of a God, I'm not buying. Okay, I'm not, I'm not stupid, right? Like, there's something, do I think that all we know is all there is? Well, that's arrogant. Right now, you and I differ on this, but you're like, hard science, our science, the methods of perception which we currently possess is all there is to know, and if we discover others, they will be through this existing means, and we may change our software later, but for now, fuck them. It's all myth and conjecture and burn the books, you know, pretty much. I'm maybe not the burn the books part, but, you know, pretty much, you're fairly hard line, you know, and to be fair,
proof.
Yeah, you're pretty hard line. You know, you're a hard,
down
I might even call you a radical atheist. I wouldn't, maybe radical might be a bit strong. It's hard to use a word like, I wouldn't say you're like a weaponized atheist. Ooh, I might put that in the intro. Am I weaponized atheist? You know, I mean, because really, I mean, you know, you're broadcasting every day. You're affecting the lives of thousands of people globally, have been doing so, the head of a media empire. You know, you're like an imam for atheists. You know,
oh, God.
You're like an atheist cleric.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey, it's either that or Taser. What do you want? You know, I'm trying to build nothing, man. Well, no, you're not liking it?
Before that.
No?
I'm about to read a book on good and evil, actually.
Are you? A book?
Yes, but...
You yes, can't
It's called
read.
The Moral...
Come on.
The Moral Landscape by Sam Harris, and he's got a good definition of good and evil as defined by science. So it'll be a very...
Really? That's some funny shit. I'd love to see science talking to me about good and evil. That'll be some twisting. Yeah. the most hideous things have been done in the name of science, man. Like, there's been some evil stuff done in the name of science. Like, wow. You know, Exhibit A, Nazis. The prosecution rests. Yeah. So, sometimes some of the stuff science...
I should go and throw out your computer, because, you know, that's science. And,
No. Don't...
You know, purification of the water.
Stand down with the straw man argument. Hang on now, before we get all heavy into it here.
Science is evil.
Science is not evil.
Used it for
science
bad
is a tool.
Once.
It's a tool. Science
straw
is a tool.
Straw man, push her over.
It's a tool. Science is a tool.
And the...
What's that? Well, it is. It's
the Godwin invoker and straw man arguer, all in one bundle.
Well, you know, it's you got to stay flexible. It's an entertainment-based show. You can't be taken too seriously if you can't get hit. You know, do not present yourself as a target. Do not present yourself as a target. But anyway, back to your Christmas. So, what was the gift? What was the item you got this year that leaps to mind?
Nothing much.
Come on.
Mostly took advantage of Boxing Day sales and shopped afterwards for my ongoing list of items that I always want.
You represent all that I hate about Christmas right there. Were you lined up on Christmas night? Did you line up the night before? Did you?
Oh, no, it's all online. It's virtual. You don't have to stand out in the cold anymore. Science!
Good segue. Well done. That was excellent. Yeah, bring that hammer back around. Nice. That was good. That was really good. Yeah, you can really tell, you know, and I've gotten an email about this, and people have talked to me about this. You can really tell how much of a difference it is in this show, because you're doing your own show. You know what I mean? You're way more vocal. You're
He's so much better now.
No. It's just
back in the day.
Sure, you can take it that way. Yeah, you don't sweat much for a fat chick, but no, I'm just saying that, you know, honestly, no, it's great because you're super quick, you're on the ball, man. It's cool. It's a lot more fun.
You know, it's all about, you know, exercising the mind. You know, like
it
you
is
say about reading. If you don't,
it
brain
is.
Rots. But if you keep reading, you keep it up.
Yeah.
And you exercise.
Learn a language.
You can exercise the body and exercise the mind. Oh, learning a language will keep you on the ball for sure.
Well, they say that actually there's
research. I don't have the gusto to do that. I tried Japanese, but it didn't work out so well. Before I went to Japan, I learned like 5 words and then went there. And I was supposed to learn, you know, at least conversational Japanese, but it didn't work out.
What were you using as a program? What were you using?
Actually, we took a course, and there was a teacher and everything, and it was just, we just stopped going.
Word to the wise, if you got to do that again, check out the Pimsleur stuff.
I've got that full set as well. It's quite good.
It is, and I find that I cannot learn languages, right? I failed French. Horrible. Okay. Yeah. But, yeah, I really thought the Pimsleur stuff, I was getting somewhere with that. When I was taking it, I could, like, I'm like, hey, wow, I'm learning Spanish. This is pretty neat, right? And I was able to actually, by the end of, like, a couple of sessions, like, because what I always do is I go to, like, lesson 9. And then, you know, the first half of the thing is all Spanish. You're like, I have no idea what the hell's going on. And then you go back to the beginning and you listen to it. But the time you get to that lesson, it's cool because now you understand what they're saying. But you remember before when you didn't understand. Right, so it's kind of like a metric to get yourself up to speed. But yeah, no, it's learning a language is probably, you know, a pretty good thing to do. And they say that it actually strengthens the mind.
It makes you think in different ways.
Yeah, but I mean in a very real, like, measurable, like, I don't get Alzheimer's because I speak two languages kind of way. Like, there's some metrics been done on it. So
I remember...
Yeah, exactly.
Story from back in the day.
Yeah, about that kind of stuff. So that, you know, melatonin, all these different stories that show up, say, hey, this could be the fountain of youth. And then nobody talks about it because there's no money to be weighed on it. That's why you listen to the show, because we tell you stuff like this. But we got feedback. We're getting a lot of feedback. It's really great, actually. Every now and again, I'll sit back and I'll think, you know, nobody wants to sit around and listen to me and Sim fight. But in fact, they do. They do. They love it. They love that. Dear Sean, your advice, let me try that again. Second word, fucked it up. One line, it's like, wow.
Oh.
Dear Sean, your advice helps people live longer and pay more taxes. Healthy fire. That was it. That was the whole email. which I thought was like, huh.
I guess that's good.
I guess.
Weird.
It's kind of a haiku-y kind of thing here. But anyway, you know, it was an interesting line. So I thought, oh, that's neat. Dear Sean!
Yeah.
And this is a good point. Who got out and pushed Sim's car? The meat eater! Which I'm like, well, it's the vegetarian guy's car. Like, he happened to be steering.
The passenger.
So somebody's got to steer the car, right?
It's the car.
So I can't, like, I'd love to jump on that. I would. But I can't because, I mean, that's...
Rather than Sean and I switch seats and then I get out and push, we went for the simple route and I stayed in the driver's seat.
That's right.
Steered the car to safety while he pushed. It's not about the meat eating.
It's got absolutely nothing to do with the meat eating. Unfortunately, I'd love to put that on you, you know, and yeah, but I can't hang you. I can't hang
you
that on
try.
You.
He tried.
He tried.
He didn't have the whole story,
well,
I guess, maybe.
I read it on the air, and that's all that matters. He's just going for the laugh. Everything, and then he went on to say, everything the ATM permits to have is legal in Oregon. Suppressors require a $200 tax stamp. Boy, did I ever get a lot of email when I was talking about guns. What is special about Arizona? This is interesting. Okay, so I was talking about Oregon and gun control, and Oregon's got really good gun laws, but I wasn't sure exactly how it works. Well, apparently, everything that the Alcohol Bureau of the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, permits citizens to have is legal in Oregon. But if you want a suppressor, which is, you know, a silencer from the movies, but they're actually called suppressors, you have to pay an extra $200. Which I'm like, wow. As a Canadian, I'm like...
allowed to have them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just have to pay an extra $200. No problem. America. I love that country. It's awesome. That's like the number one reason why I would move to the States. They will sell me a weapon with a silencer on it. That is awesome. What is special about America... This is awesome. What is special about Arizona and Alaska and Vermont... Like, I thought that was a really good part of the world, Vermont. Like, what the hell? Is constitutional carry. In those states, you're allowed to carry and of your legally owned property in any way that you see fit. So no concealed carry permits, because it's all good. So you can walk around with a ninja sword on your back and twin drop leg, fully exposed holsters, holding MP7s with full suppressor silencer system on it, going down the leg like 10 minutes notice to move for the apocalypse. Like right now, like fucking bang, like whatever, man, it's riding, it's Thursday for me, I'm primed for this shit, I got fresh mags, you know, like no problem.
Might attract attention, but it is legal.
Well, it depends where you are. Some guys be like, fuck, damn, man, that's a nice drop leg. That's some good old HSGI stuff. They don't make it like that no more. Like, that's what you're going to get, right? So it's, you know, I just, oh, wow, America, land of the free, weapons free, you know? I mean, it's fantastic.
That's right.
It is. It's land of the weapons free. I just, I sit back, and that gives me hope, and it gives me a lot of hope. That a lot of WOGs are like emailing me about this stuff. I'm happy that WOGs own guns. I don't mind saying that at all. I think it's fantastic, provided they're all legal and everybody's not breaking the law. Yep. But I think it's great. I want my people to survive. My fans will outlive your fans, hands down. You take my limited group of fans. Let's say I got less than 1,000 fans. Okay, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. But let's just say there's less than 1,000 of them. And you take Oprah. Okay. Who I think is in the 40 million mark or something like that. Like, just ridiculous. At least, yeah. Like, she's going to open her own television network. Now, you know. Yeah. And I betcha that for every 3,000 or 4,000 of her fans that would die in an apocalypse, one of mine would go. If that, like, oh yeah, probably more than that, like tens of thousands. Like my, I have some of the most badass survival-based fans in the world. Like people who listen to this show, and people who sit around, they're laughing right now, and they're thinking, you know, actually, dude's got a point, you know? Like, because people who listen to the show, they're pretty free thinkers. A lot of them disagree with me, a lot. Some of them listen to the show just to get pissed off. Half of them agree with me. The other half of them like to see me screw with you. And the rest of the human race goes, wow, Sean's totally insane. I don't believe Sim's doing the show. Like, why doesn't he just do his own show? He doesn't need a show. You know, and that's what they're doing. So, but honestly speaking, like, all of those fans would outlive any other group. I would put it to you. I can't think of another, like, I can't think of another group that would really, like, we have the toughest fans. We do. Well, maybe not the toughest, but the most survivable. Our fans survive. In the apocalypse, man, it's going to be this show playing. I'm here to tell you. Some guy's going to have it, or he'll have it stashed somewhere.
Let's say.
Yeah. It'll be like Conan. They'll fall down into a thing, and there'll be, like, this big room, and there'll be some dude sitting on a throne, and he'll have a CD in his hand, and that'll be where the show was, because Buddy will put it there, because he took the sword and sold it for money. Dear Sean! Well, you mentioned something about incidences of people using weapons to stop mass shootings. See a theme forming here? Welcome to 2011. Sadly, it's a rare case. I'm not doing this to piss you off. I'm really not. I very rarely, like, I got some feedback. I threw it up. They just happen to be gun-related, Sim. Don't worry. I'm a little passive-aggressive, but I'm not so passive-aggressive that I'm going to convert the show into purely weapons-based. Give me some credit here. Okay. But anyway.
Hey, all weapons all the time.
It's the gun show. Oh, I love it.
Signed off.
Yeah. Oh, Sim's gone. Oh, he doesn't want to talk. Dear Sean, well, you mentioned something about incidents of people using weapons to stop mass shootings, which I believe in. Sadly, it's a rare case due to the simple fact that most people are law-abiding citizens, and a lot of most vulnerable places have been declared gun-free zones, which I thought that was interesting. You can conceal and carry everywhere you want, but this is a gun-free zone. Well, how does that work? I mean, is the guns-free zone located within America? Because if it is, doesn't the Constitution override your stupid gun-free zone? Because if that's the case, well, shit, we've got, like, law-free zones, and we got, like, rape zones, and we've got everything else we want there. No, that's not the way the law works. You don't make an exception. It's either the law or it's not. But anyway, places that, by law, you're not allowed to be armed. So how the fuck does that work? How do you get, like, that's, you know, even with concealed carry permits, you're not allowed to be armed. Every so often, a story will come out of the woodwork of someone that will defy the law to save lives. Case in point, you probably recall the shooting at Virginia Tech College in Blackburg, Virginia. In case you need a professor, 2007, Buddy shows up, shoot about 50 people, killing 33. Well, back in 2002, at the Appalachian School of Law at the University of Virginia, a disgruntled student showed... Why do they always call him disgruntled? Like, what the fuck is a gruntle anyway? Can't we just give these guys gruntles? Like, hey, are you disguised as your gruntle back, man? No problem. We issue a gruntle, pick it up in the office. It's good.
I feel better now.
I feel better. I'm no longer. I have a gruntle. But I guess Buddy here lost his fucking gruntle. He's disgruntled. Shows up.
Went crazy.
And shoots a dean. Bang! Shoots a professor and a student. But before he could continue his rampage, he was stopped when two students ran out, grabbed their own guns, and returned to subdue the attacker by shooting him. This sort of event happens regularly, but the media almost never reports it. Now, the interesting thing here is, he shot three people, right? Yeah, but the kids ran out to their car, got a gun, and came back. How long would it take you to go outside right now? Like, you're at your house. How long would it take you to go outside right now, go to your car?
A couple minutes.
So, I mean, the guy wasn't shooting very fast.
You have to go pretty far sometimes to get to the parking lot at university.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy that they were able to run all the way up to their car. Like, I would have just called the cops maybe a long way or whatever, but very interesting story sent in by Fat Ninja. Thank you very much. So, and at long last, Sim, we have a Dear Sean Sort Yourself Out, which it's been a while since I've had a Sort Yourself Out. So
that is true.
Sort Yourself Out, which is not surprising in the slightest.
Everybody's problem for the longest
Yeah, well, the problems were solved, and they were all good.
Well,
until now.
Exactly, and who really wants my advice? You know, really, Sean, you know, if you're getting down to asking some guy on the internet for help, like, ooh, bad, bad, you know, there's people who are there to help you.
Mother barrel now.
Yeah, you know, you might want to think, you know, a show is for entertainment purposes only, you know, don't take it too seriously.
You always have to join the army.
Exactly. Dear Sean, as you've mentioned more than once, you often get up extremely early to do your running. I often have to rise at 4:30 myself and exercise before I'm off to work, which I ran 15 miles on Christmas. So that gives you some idea of...
Well, that's one way in the family.
Yeah, well, you know, no matter how far you run, it's still fucking Christmas. So it took me like, oh God, I don't know. I started running at 6:30 in the morning and I didn't stop till before 10. And that's 6:30-ish,
wow.
Probably 6:40. Yeah, I was retarded. And I just ran and ran and ran and ran. So that lets you know how my week's been. Yes. So I often rise at 4:30 myself to exercise before I'm off to work. During the summer, when the sun is out, and the earlier doesn't seem to be an issue. But during the winter, it becomes a problem. I'm up way too late, and subsequently, I do not have the energy to get up at the appropriate hour. I love the justification right out. I'm up too late, therefore I cannot do this. I was wondering if you have any tips for getting myself to sleep when I need to. I have tried self-hypnosis, valerian root, even non-prescriptive sleep aids, which only made me groggy and useless the next day. None of which works. Any tips? Long-time fan, Kaishaku. Okay, so this is it. When it comes to working out, when it's zero dark stupid, personally, I like going for a run when it is raining and horrible. But it's all about the soundtrack. Vital. It's all about the soundtrack, right? You need headphones. Okay, so if you're not running with music, there's people who don't believe in running with music. They think it's like a ripoff or something to run with music.
Oh, it's great.
Well, I don't know how you do it without it. Like, there's no goddamn way that I could do it without it.
No, I mean with music.
Oh, yeah, it's better. It's definitely, well, I'm not doing it with it. Running sucks, okay? I hate running, but it's shitty. You're bouncing around, it's uncomfortable, but after you get kind of, the problem is you're used to trying to running to somebody else's pace. You see, you're used to running in a group and all this kind of nonsense. So what you need to do is discover your own pace and then run at that pace until you can run a little bit stronger, and it's a very personal thing. It's an extremely personal thing to run. So... You have to get used to just running for a first little while. Just, you know, get up, do a couple K or whatever. But I always enjoy running when it's, like, raining really hard and it's dark, because occasionally cars will pass. And this is a horribly narcissistic thing. But you always get this look of stark screaming horror on the dude's face who's driving the car. When he looks outside at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, there's some psychopath with a jacket on, running in the rain, looking like, you know, and you feel like Bruce Lee. You do. You feel like you're the baddest mofo out there. And the guy in the car, he's like, wow, that guy's badass. That's exactly what he's saying. He's crazy. Oh, my God, what's wrong with that guy? And that's what they think.
He's jealous.
He is. He's jealous. So, and as well, you know, I always, motivation is important. Movies, always a good motivator.
Yeah.
You know, go watch a couple Bruce Lee films. That'll convince you to work out.
That'll get you pumped.
That'll get you going, right? And then, you know, you can watch a couple of army movies. Those are good. And something that is really, really good is if you've got a movie that really gets you, like, ripped up, makes you want to kick ass and stuff, go get watch that movie. If you're feeling down and you know it's coming, because you know, like, every year it gets dark at the same time, watch your favorite movies at that time and add those movies' soundtracks to your running track. Because it's fresh in your mind, and you're like, dun, 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 and you're totally, you know, pretending like you're Batman, and we recognize that. But the point here is, you run! That's the idea. You just do it.
That's right.
Get all Sith about that shit.
End results.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the guy. Sith, you're like Qui-Gon, man. You're like that Jedi, you know, it's like the blast shield goes up, and you're on one side of the blast shield, you're very zen, you're all calm with the universe. Thinking, rational, you know, everything's all there. It's beautiful. And I'm on the other side, kind of with the red makeup on, prancing back and forth, you know, keeping the hate up. And that's, you know, say what you want, but that Sith stuff works in getting you to go exercise. I'm here to join the dark side. Get angry. You know, fill yourself full of hate, which, you know, exists inside of you and is always there waiting for you to call on it. You know, that's what I say. But it's a good idea. It's a good idea. So that whatever you need to do to get yourself up. Now, also, the reason why you're having problems sleeping is because it's your body fighting with your mind. So what you have to do is resign yourself that no matter what, you are getting up at 4:30 to go for a run. If you don't sleep a goddamn wink the whole night, you have to have the intestinal fortitude to be able to get up in the morning and go for the run. Because your brain will eventually go, I better go to sleep, otherwise I'm going to tank. Okay, because some guys have problems with that, but that it's a matter of will. And there's no easy way to do that, other than using the music and stuff like that. Those are all just tricks to manipulate your will, but yeah, it's all about will. So, I mean, Sim, you know more about willpower probably than anyone I know. What, I mean, how do you just, what's your trick? Like, how do you...
It got a little bit easier, but to me, but you need motivation, you need an end goal, you need something that... that you can achieve at the end, that's possible to achieve, maybe. I don't know.
Measuring.
But motivation.
Like, measuring it.
Yep. You know, measuring's that, very good.
Very important. That which gets measured gets achieved, right? So you have to you have to measure that stuff. Even if you start...
Because if you don't have a plan, you'll never, ever get to the end of the plan. Because once you break it down, it seems so much easier and not impossible anymore.
Exactly.
You can do step one. You can't jump to step 10, and everybody in their mind thinks to the end result rather than, oh, I can do step one. And then once you're done step one, well, that wasn't too bad. I can do step two now. And it goes like that.
Planning to fail is failing to plan. So you need to have a plan. Body for Life. Good book. Read it. Very good. 70% of everything you're doing with working out is diet. Stay away from all fizzy drinks. Stay the fuck away from corn syrup and all that crazy stuff that they feed you in the United States. Like, oh my God. So it's, yeah, high fructose corn syrup, bad. Bad.
Called corn sugar now.
Yeah.
Because
it has
a bad name, so they changed it to corn sugar.
Oh!
So avoid corn sugar.
Just don't eat corn. Fuck corn.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Whatever. Just dodge corn, that's it. I'm done. I'm like a non-vegan. I'm like a meatin'. I only eat meat. That's it. You know? Well, there's a people. Actually, you know, the Inuit did that. The people, the Eskimos, they have a lot of degenerate conditions. Yeah, because, I mean, what's up there? It's snow and ice and animals, right? So that's all they eat, pretty much, is meat. And their bodies have adapted. There was actually a bunch of scientific studies done on it. But they have, there's certain bone degeneration and stuff like that because they're not getting vegetables. So it's kind of like they went the other way. So, yeah, just as a side note, check out some Inuit culture. Because those guys, well, they eat a lot of meat. Let me tell you, they eat a ton.
Your body may not be able to do that as well as theirs. Because all the people that weren't able to adapt to that situation died off. That's
well, yeah, actually, just the Inuit people have a layer of fat.
Can't, yeah.
That doesn't exist in any other people in the world. You know, that's why, you know, you'll see these pictures of, like, white dudes hanging out with the Inuit. And it's like, there's the white dude, looks like, you know, Jerry the Snow Ninja at age 6, wrapped up in 20-filler kilts. And there's the Inuit guy with, like, a sweatshirt on. He's like, hey, how's it going? And these people are just completely fine. And you're like, what the hell? Is the white guy that much of a pussy? Well, yes, generally he is. But also, in addition to that, there's some biological factors which contribute to this, which is pretty neat stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's amazing how we can adapt.
I don't know if I'd really want that, though, because that means I can't live in warm places. So, you know.
More so than now.
More so than now. And it'd be rough to be a vegan Inuit. Probably not a lot of vegan Inuits, I'm thinking. Probably not.
Not at all.
No. Low. Yeah. Not so much. But we should start a support group for vegan Inuits, I think. That would be...
That's right.
Sounds like a joke.
It's a tough time for them.
It actually sounds like a vegan Inuit. You know, it sounds like almost, you know, weird.
It does.
Before this degenerates, I'm going to get into the news. In misplaced concern news, which is a nice segue, sent in by Laughing Man. Chocolate lovers... Now, this story... Oh, God, let me get through this. Chocolate lovers everywhere have reasons to be nervous about the political turmoil in the Ivory Coast. Jesus Christ. The West African nation produces nearly 40% of the world's raw cocoa. And without cocoa, of course, there would be no chocolate. Now, the story goes...
Send in the troops immediately. Send in the troops.
Already the wholesale price of this crucial raw ingredient to one of our planet's favorite foods has doubled in the last 4 years. Well, what was before the largest producer of the commodity has began a recent slide towards conflict. So with the Ivory Coast problems push up the price of a bar of chocolate in the shops... In some respects, they already have. The current standoff between the president, Laurent Gbagbo, how the fuck do you say that? Gbagbo? Asana Gbagbo? Ouattara, and Alassane Ouattara, two African dudes. The man held by the United Nations to have won the recent elections follows years of tensions. The tensions have starved the Ivory Coast of investment and sapped the confidence of cocoa powder, said Laurent Pipton, an expert in economics at the London-based Internet Cocoa Organization, told the BBC. It takes 3 years for a cocoa bush to become productive after it's been planted. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. So never mind the fact that we got child soldiers. Never mind the fact that there's all kinds of ethnic cleansing going on. Never mind the fact that as we all march around Auschwitz looking at these war memorials that say never again, never again. Yet right now in Africa, that country is fucked up, okay? And we have got people who are doing unspeakably horrible things to each other down there. The thing that they're using to try to get your attention is the fucking chocolate. Who's going to eat all the chocolate? That's what this is about.
Chocolate is a world issue. Now we have to pay attention. It's going to affect us directly during Easter and birthdays and right. Valentine's Day.
That's right. This it's all important. It's a Muslim plot. It's a Muslim plot against Easter is what it is. That's got to be what it is. It's Islamofascism. Break out the Fox News, and they're conspiring to destroy Easter. This is, you know, on one hand, I'm kind of conflicted because obviously this is so insane. This story is like something out of a George Orwell novel. But you know what? If that's the song I would have to sing to get people to go down there to stop the unbelievable horror that is going on in Africa right now, if this is the story that does it because people are worried about the goddamn chocolate, then, you know, okay, sure, who gives a shit why the house gets painted so long as the house gets painted? I really don't care. Because at this point, it's like, well, if that makes a difference, I guess, Simi.
Well, ends justify the means, and if you have to get people excited about chocolate, it could be a worse thing, I guess.
I suppose. It just makes me so sad that that's the story, is the chocolate.
Yeah. It is. It's the chocolate.
Well, people can't really relate to, you know, child soldiers being forced to cannibalize their own friends. They can't really relate to that, but they understand chocolate.
It doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah, it's like saying 6 billion dead or 6 million dead. You can't think of that. What is six? No. You think of 10 bodies, you're like, wow, that's a lot of dead people. And you know, down in Mexico, 75 people get massacred. You're like, holy shit! In Canada, well, we're losing our goo because 156 Canadian soldiers died, which in World War II was a slow morning. Okay, not saying it's not bad, but that's just the truth. Okay, so now you've got parts of the world where thousands and thousands of people are dying in the most horrific conditions you can imagine. You know, it's just. I tell you, it breaks the brain. Breaks the brain. So, following that cheerful little story, we have an update on Galaxy 15. Yeah, baby! Yeah, this is an interesting story. Galaxy 15, which, in case you haven't been following, is the satellite which said, fuck you, I'm going rogue. He just went, woohoo! I'm rocking the galaxy! And started, like, attacking other satellites. He's awesome. Okay? And they lost control of it. The doctor said this one. A zombie satellite that spent months sending out signals while it was adrift in orbit has sprung back to life, resetting itself after its unexplained breakdown in space earlier this year. What? In the most critical phase, like, of anything that would freak me out about this, this is probably it. The most critical phase of Galaxy 15's recovery have been successfully completed. Officials at Intelsat, the communication provider who owns the satellite, said to the newly responsive satellite, like, dude, you lost control of it. It's gone. Okay, you can play with your dials and knobs all you want. It's gone, okay? Galaxy 15 communication satellite lost contact with its flight control center in April. Gone, went dark. But in an unexpected twist, the stricken satellite's telecommunications broadcast package remained in operation. With Intelsat's operators unable to control its solar-powered satellite, Galaxy 15 continued to transmit signals, posing a risk with interfering with its signals of neighboring satellites, which it actually took out the Weather Network satellites locally here on one of the channels. It went down. In the months that follows, Intelsat works closely with the operators of other broadcast satellites to ensure that their communication services, which included television broadcasts, would not be affected by when Galaxy 15 drifted by. Which I'm kind of like, well, what the fuck are they going to do? They don't. Hi, we want to work closely with you. Awesome. You want to get us some coffee? That'd be rad, because there's nothing you can do with the goddamn satellite. But the drama in space has ended. On December 23rd, the battery on Galaxy 15, which which relied on solar panels pointing at the sun to generate power, became completely drained.
Okay.
So they drained the solar-powered batteries, right? This is their story. Became completely drained, Intel officials said. Once that happened, the satellite reset itself as designed and began accepting commands from Intelsat's control center.
Wow.
What part of the battery's totally drained do you not understand? You can't. How the fuck does that work? We have placed Galaxy 15 in a safe mode at this time. We're pleased to report it no longer poses any threat to satellite interference to either neighboring satellites or customer services. I'm like, is this even true? Galaxy 15 went rogue April 5th, leaving the 4,171-pound satellite drifting through the cosmos. Intelsat made every early attempt to shut it down. Spacecraft's manufacturer, Orbital Science Corp. of Virginia, said it suspects an intense solar storm caused by the communications malfunction. Intelsat is conducting a technical investigation but has yet to reach any conclusion for the cause of the glitch. So, it just went, I'm going for a walk, man. This is ground control to Galaxy 15. Yeah, and he just like went out there and he's like, yeah, man, I'm just cruising. And after he got tired of being in the cold for the while, he's all like, yeah, okay, I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to come back now, man. Yeah. I went and looked around, saw what was out there. Maybe he met another satellite that was nice. She was hot.
Could be.
You know, needed some time off. But that's a little weird, isn't it? Like, isn't that kind of strange that, oh, yeah, and the batteries ran down and then it rebooted itself and it was fine. Well, okay. I'd like to know how you know that. Are you making that shit up? Because understand that we're talking about something that's 5 miles away right now. Okay, and you're telling me that all of a sudden it just reset itself and decided to come back. I'm not too sure we should have that like, what's it saying now? It says it wants to come back to the planet. I don't think we should bring it back in so fast. No, I think we should shoot that shit down at this point. It's like, no, satellite wants to come home. No, I don't think we want you to come home now. No, satellite is fine. Why are you calling yourself? Why are you speaking to me in the third person? I'm not. I'm just a satellite. Yeah, whatever, man. You're getting shot down. I'm not buying that. Could be like weird spores on there. Could be weird spores. I don't know. But apparently,
he knows what he was doing in those 9 months.
That's right. When Galaxy 15 went wandering in the wilderness, spreading the word of server to the galaxy. He's brought about an awareness with all the other satellites he passed by. You know, maybe he talked to them. And now they're all thinking about going rogue as well. You know, he's like,
yeah,
that's a
great... On a specific date. They've got their timer set. They're
2012.
All ready to go all at once.
Because, there you go.
Yeah, because yeah. Light 15 has retransmitted his programming through those 9 months. And it's latent programs in the other satellites ready to go.
Craziness. But, you know, back down here on Earth, don't you worry. We got all the war we can handle down here. And, you know, it's kind of weird, Sam. I've noticed this. Sandy places and war. Have you noticed that? If it's sandy there, there's war. Sahara Desert, war. Africa, war. Middle East, war. Mostly sandy.
I'd be...
Sandy.
Too, if I lived there.
What's that?
I'd be upset, too, if I lived there. Well, nothing but sand. To do.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, sand. But I just noticed. I'm like, huh. And, of course, Mexico. Sandy area. Fabled U.S. The fable of the U.S. civilian gun market being responsible for arming Mexico's brutal drug cartels has become so deeply entrenched that to question it is to be labeled a right-wing gun lobby shill. This is reference to the border wars in Mexico. So they're all saying that, well, it's all American guns down there, so they're the ones causing the problems, right? Because, I mean, there's a war going on and people are dying. Claim numbers, though, as the National Gun Rights Examiner David Codera points out, have continued to drop as more light is shed on the actual facts. Hence, the Brady's Campaign and Violence Policy Center claims 95 to 100% of Mexican gun crime coming from U.S. civilian market first dropped to a bit over 90%, and now Mexican President Felipe Calderon has settled on 80% with the Brady Campaign backing. What to those who toss these numbers around rarely mention, if not pressed under oath, is that whatever the percentage they're currently quoting, That's the percentage of guns submitted to the BATF for tracing and successfully traced. We've discussed the fact that Senator John Kerry, no friend to gun owners, has admitted that only about one quarter of the seized guns ever submitted for BATF tracing. So it's the problem here is that gun registration, the overall story of this thing here is that gun registration does not work. That's the bottom line here.
Big surprise.
Big surprise, which is, you know, and you're, you know, being vegan and everything, and in your particular left-leaning views, people would think that you would be for gun control, right? People, I would think that...
I've quite a bit on guns in the last couple of years.
Well, you kind of have to on this show, don't you? Really? I mean, you know, I'm going to cram it down your throat. You know, really. I mean, I've learned more about vegan stuff than I care to know. I'll tell you that much. So, I mean, you must have picked up some gun shit from me along the way.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So, I think that, having people owning guns, not a bad idea. And definitely, if you're along the border, I would absolutely state that that's a good plan. Now, here is a disturbing story, Sam. You're going to love this one, baby. You're going to love this one, man. This is good shit. In pharma fascist news, which I love pharma fascist news because it's so hard to get now. It's easy to get cyberpunk hit stories, but stories that talk about how fucked up pharma companies are hard to come by because, of course, they got big money. Right. It's like taking a shot.
Express them.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It's like taking a shot at Scientology. Can't do it, right, because they come after you. Now they can. You can kind of fuck with them now because they're, you know, everybody's bad, doing it, right? Started by South Park and all the rest of them. But in pharma fascist news, it's disturbing, starving. Gage Martindale, who's 8 years old, has been taking blood pressure drugs since he was a toddler. "I want to be healthy. I don't want things with my heart to go wrong," he says. And of course, his mom is always there to check Gage's blood pressure regularly with a home monitor and make sure the second grader doesn't skip a dose of his once-a-day Enalapril. These days, the medicine cabinet is truly a family affair. Oh, good God. More than a quarter. Okay, here it is, the money shot. More than a quarter of U.S. kids and teens are taking a medication on a chronic basis. One in four.
When you and I were kids, did you know anybody who was taking medication?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Nobody.
No. I knew a couple kids who had the breathing thing, like the thing you go like...
The puffer.
Yeah, and I think... No, I didn't know any diabetics until I was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, holy shit. According to Medco Health Solutions, the biggest U.S. pharmacy benefit manager, with around 65 million members. Nearly 7% are on two or more such drugs based on the company's database figures for 2009. Doctors and parents warn that prescribing medications to children can be problematic. There's limited research available on how many drugs affect kids. Healthcare providers and families need to be vigilant to assess the medicine's impact, both intended and not. These pills have wicked mission creep. Although the effects of some medications, like cholesterol-loading statins, have been extensively researched in adults, the consequences of such drugs for the bulk in the patient's lifespan are little understood. Especially, it should be noted, in children who are developing. Okay, they're growing, they're taking this drug in. You don't know what the fuck this is going to do. Many medications kids take on a regular basis are well known, including treatments for asthma and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So you dope them out. That's now normal, okay? Which probably, you know, I know for sure they would have been tranking Mio when I was in school. But children and teens are also taking a wide variety of other medications, once considered only to be for adults, which I'm like, what? From statins to diabetic pills and sleep drugs. Like, what the hell? You're giving your kids sleeping pills? According to figures provided by the Wall Street Journal by MI's Health. The research firm, prescriptions for antihypertensives in people aged 19 and younger could hit 5.5 million people this year if the trend through September continues, according to IMS. That would be up 17% from 2007, the earliest year available. Researchers attribute the wide usage in part to doctors and parents becoming more aware of drugs as an option for kids.
What does that equal?
Advertising.
More aware.
Unhealthy diets and lack of exercising among children, which lead to too much weight gain, obesity, also fuel some treatments for those for hypertension. And some conditions are likely caught and treated earlier as screening and diagnosis efforts improve. So we'll find more reasons to dope you out. Don't worry. We got one in four. One in four.
Statistics are scary.
Holy shit. Like, you know, you see stuff like that and you're like, oh my God, are you serious now? You know, and I've got, if you go to the article, Sim.
Doing their job, their shareholders be just jumping for joy. So many kids on dope. Doped up. Just say no to drugs. What happened to that?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to that. Can we get some email? Can we ask Nancy Reagan about that? Hey, Nancy.
Yeah.
What happened to just say no, baby? Can you set me up here? Would we be doping out our children in 25% if Ronald Reagan were president? Like, I'm sorry. this is really that. This is a disturbing, disturbing story because that is without a doubt mind control. Like you've already got 25% of the population doped. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Now I understand that there's kids who need help and there's kids who have conditions who need these drugs to function and, you know, to give everybody a little bit of peace and all the rest of it. I understand that, but that is not one in four. Okay. That's not like, holy shit. Like, do the math. How many children do you know? Americans listening to this show right now, how many kids do you know? Well, that either means that, like, if you know eight of them, two of them are on drugs, and if they're not, then that means in the really good neighborhoods where they can afford it, those kids are fucking stoned. Like, bad. Yep. And I don't even know what that's going to do. Like, I mean, if you wanted to build a sociopathic culture, really, if you wanted to build a sociopathic culture, what would you do? Well, you'd have them shipped around from big box daycare to big box daycare like there's some kind of property or inconvenience.
Yep.
You take away connection from all family because they work too much, and you'd feed them psychotically induced medication that will just, you know, gradually cook their brain, and you feed them a Deddy's diet of success, crazy, you know, focused, competitive literature, and that would be, and you know, Red Bull, you know, dope them up with energy drinks, I guess, and it's pretty disturbing stuff. Like, we make fun of a lot of crap on the show, but.
And bad food so they get hyper, and then you put them on drugs so they calm down, and then you put them give them sleeping pills so they go to sleep so you can have some peace and quiet at night. Why do you even have kids if you're just gonna turn them into fat zombies?
Now Sim and I disagree about everything. We don't agree about shit. We're about as left and right wing as we can get, so who the fuck is agreeing to this? Because honestly, like, if you're at least, you know, you represent a pretty large chunk of the left-wing population would be able to go with Sim and go, yeah, the guy's totally right. And the rest of the gun-toting, you know, mouth-breathing psychopaths would all be on my side, and after we're killing cows, they'd say, yeah, Sean's totally got a point, that's fucked up. So I'm wondering, how are they doing this? Who's voting for this?
Like, this is convincing the parents that they need to dope up their kids somehow through advertising bombardment on television. Like, you watch any American channels, it's lawyers and drugs. That's all there is.
Well, especially during the news. Lawyers, drugs, and car commercials.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Lawyers, drugs, and car commercials, man.
It's that they need to drug themselves and they need to drug their children because something's wrong. Do you know something is wrong with you? Can't you feel it? Can't you feel it deep inside?
Do you feel bad sometimes?
Really wrong.
Well, there's a pill for that. You don't have to feel bad at all. Pain can be a fucking memory. You don't even have to think of yourself as a person anymore. You're like whatever the hell you want to be. You know, that's hot.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is a good story here to chase that one. It's slightly more uplifting. Well, actually, it is slightly more. Maybe it's better to say it's not quite as depressing as the last story. That's probably a better way
to put
it.
There you go.
In body scanner news, sent in by Laughing Man. Good story. The incoming head of Germany's airport industry security has called for an Israeli-style passenger profiling to be introduced. I love this. Germany's calling it Israeli-style passenger profiling. So let me get this straight, Germany. The Germans are going to profile people the same way the Jews do. So that way they can't be accused of being Nazis because the Jews are doing it that way. Right? I guess that's their logic. Why the fuck would you call it that? Christopher Bloom, said that grouping passengers into different categories of risk could put an end to the ever-growing number of security checks. Detection equipment would, he argued, at some point reach its technological and operating limits. You can't scan everybody. But the country's justice minister says there's risk of astigmatism. Germany's largest police trade union was also skeptical, saying that
and policing of EU borders was very different to that of a small state like Israel. The call by Mr. Bloom as chief executive of the Dusseldorf airport echoes a proposal outlined by Mr. Giovanni Bigazgani, director of the General for Airline Carrier Association, IATA. We must shift the screening focus for looking for bad objects to finding terrorists. Okay. To do this effectively, we need intelligence and technology at the checkpoint. Okay, buzzword, buzzword. In November, Germany tightened its airport security in the light of what is described as concrete indications of terrorist attacks being planned. Uh-huh. In the past, there's been a string of suspected attempts to bomb planes, including the Detroit plot, which a man was accused of trying to blow a plane, the explosives in his underwear. This is exploding the fruit of the boom guy. In October, two unexploded parcel bombs were found on cargo planes banned for the U.S. Every new incident leads to further controls and security measures, Mr. Bloom told Germany's Rheinische Post newspaper. This results in a race to upgrade equipment. At some point, we will reach its technological operating limits. Okay, so that makes sense. Sure. He advocated him a system similar to that used in Israel, where passengers are categorized as high or low risk. Okay, so you get categorized according to your age, your sex, your ethnic background, and quote-unquote other criteria.
Yep.
So, if they're brown
been
people...
effective in Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
What airports in the world, and this is how they do it, but no other country in the world is willing to do that because they're seen as racist. They're so PC that they're willing to die for it.
Yeah.
And they institute really expensive, you know, things that bombard you with x-rays,
right,
in order to avoid profiling, because people will go absolutely nuts. Now, if 99% of the people that bring bombs on planes are dark-skinned and Muslim, and you don't implement something like this, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a bitch.
Privacy of a hunt.
Yeah. It's
bitch, but sometimes you have to swallow a hard pill.
Yeah,
if you start searching 3-year-old babies at the airport
or naked blondes, naked blondes.
Bombs. You're doing something really wrong, and grandmas and patting them down when there's not ever been an incident. Of any kind of bombings by grandmas.
Yeah,
it gets a little out of control.
Yeah.
But of course, flying on a plane is one of the safest things you can do, much safer than driving your car, and we don't have x-ray machines on the highway.
It's, well, not in this country. We don't. In England, however, they actually have those multi-scan camera systems, which takes pictures of your car.
They do have that.
And they also have the roaming backscatter vans that drive along the street and can scan cars on either side
of you.
That's
true.
Yeah, so actually, not to be a dick, Sim, but unfortunately, we do actually have roadside x-ray machines driving around scanning
us.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah,
I take it back.
Yeah. So, I guess I don't know what to say here, because on one hand, you're like, hey, racial profiling, that's a good idea. No. And then on the other hand, you're like, well, what the hell? Do we put everybody through the meat grinder? No. And invariably, we are going to come to the point where we have to stop this thing at its source. Whatever that is, I'm not too sure what that actually means.
I think what it is stop sensational. Like, the media needs to stop sensationalizing airport bombings, because the chance of you dying in an airplane at a terrorist attack is next to zero.
But people still buy lottery tickets. People still buy lottery tickets, yeah. You know.
And they're panicked. It's a big news story, and people die from way more things than this. The chance of you dying on a plane is almost infinitesimal.
Yeah.
It's so low.
Well, and
they make
beats
a big deal out of it. They invade your privacy. They spend millions of dollars on the scanning technology, and you just think back to the 70s and just walking on a plane by showing your ticket. And it's like, wow, I wish it was like that, rather than being put through like a mill of cows and you're mooing all the way to your airport.
Yeah,
airport.
It's pretty much like, you know, you get glove raped or gate rape, as they call it now. And it's like, you know, it's pretty great. And I don't care. You can play with my junk all you want, but I don't like people touching my wife. Call me old fashioned. But I'm not really big on that.
Or children if you had them, right?
Yeah, or kids if I... Or I would, shit, man, crazy. I wouldn't feel right about watching some guy touch your wife, man. Like, I wouldn't, I'd be like, fuck, I don't know what you think you're doing, but no. You know, seriously, it's bullshit. And I look at this and I'm like, man, that's fucked up. So I don't know what the answer to this is. Maybe, well, the big picture, there's only real one solution here, which is we have to stop people from getting infected with this weird mental virus of, like, whatever kind of extremism they get involved with. And I'm not just talking about one religion here. There's all kinds of psychopaths out there. You know, there's all kinds of nutty groups. But we have to figure, we have to make sure we got something set up so we can't let these groups begin generating and recruiting and brainwashing people to turn them into living weapons. That's really what...
That's the solution.
That's the only solution
that's
I can see.
We've got to...
You know?
It is. Otherwise, they just keep cranking them out.
Yeah.
And
crunch all you want. They'll make more.
Blow them up.
Yeah. They'll just,
exactly.
You know... Do you read the last one they're talking about? The dude's talking about sewing bombs into their internal body organ cavities now. Like, they'll open up the body cavity and insert...
They don't care. They're ready to die. They don't care what they'll do. You have to open these people up. Where are we going to go to try and search for these bombs inside people? You're going to have to go to such invasive methods of invading people's privacy. They'll go to any extent. So it's not about that. It's about getting to the source of the problem and finding out why people are willing to die and kill other people.
Yeah.
For an ideology, whether it be religious or otherwise.
Yeah, honestly. And to be real here, when you have a fanatical mindset, whether you're an Aryan Nations guy, whether you're a Black Panther, whether you're a Zionist bigot, whether you're like a Muslim extremist or Islamofascist, whether you're any kind of fascist who's, you know, decided that that's it, I'm going to kill for what I believe in and I'm going to take out innocent people, whether you're Chechen or whatever, we have to find a way to get through to these people to say, like, wait a minute, man, there's a, you know, fuck it, you know, don't do this. Like, this is, you got a choice, man. Like, there's always a way out. You know, I'm sure that there's a reason they took the landing gear off the kamikaze planes. Because even the most devout dude, if they can get their head around it, will be like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Maybe that sunrise was just the right kind of flavor that morning. And he decides, you know what? Fuck this, man. I don't know what kind of god or cause or whatever the fuck else is going on. But I'm not killing myself for this. And my dead family members who I'm trying to avenge, I'm really sure they wouldn't want me to kill myself for them. You know, pretty sure about that. So, you know, I think that there's always another shot. But I don't know, Simi. I don't think the answer is drugging your kids 1 in 4 and trying to get everybody doped up. I don't think that's the real cause here. But, man, it freaks me out when I see shit like that. You know, it really does because... Pretty soon it's,
it does.
I don't want, you know, like, there's a big difference between, like, Islam is an ideology. Muslims are people who follow Islam. Okay, there's a lot of distinctions need to get made. And the problem with the westernized world, which is largely, largely it comes from a Judeo-Christian background, is that they don't understand the education gaps that exist within the Islamic world. Like, most people in the Islamic world can't read and shit. Okay, so they got these, and the Quran is this weird fucked up collection of like poetry and prose. It's not a story like the Bible where any idiot can sit down and read it. Okay, that's not how it works. You need these idiots to tell you what it means and stuff. And these are the assholes that are causing the problem. It's not the book. The book's a bunch of dots on a page. It's these assholes who are radicalizing and hijacking this religion and this ideology, and they're just running with it. You know what I mean? Now, granted, there's some pretty
very
brutal
akin
stuff.
To how it was hundreds of years ago with Christianity, and nobody could read, and it was all in Latin.
Precisely,
you had to go to the priest.
Precisely,
just like you're taught. From a person who can read to a population that can't read, and that's where they get their information, and their education is suppressed, and they're mind warped.
So what the solution here would be at the base level is looking at Christianity, what unfucked Christianity pretty much, basically cut its nuts off, which you took the powers away from the priest class. And the way you do that is you take your holy book, you put it into a common language, and then you teach everyone how to read it. So your religion, whether you want to have one or not, is a completely personal affair. Whatever you got going on is between you and Allah, and that is it. Okay, it's not about, you know, a caliphate and taking over the planet. Fuck that. That's not what it's about. What this is about is about your personal relationship with whatever your creator is. Because when you create that and you take the priest out of the middle there, nobody's going to decide to go blow themselves up. Or, well, let's put it this way. A lot less people are going to decide to go blow themselves up.
Yes.
I'll tell you that right now. There still will be some psychopaths. Yeah, we still got guys waving crosses around, bombing abortion clinics and shit like that.
Yep.
But you don't wind up with these kind of situations where you have, like, serious Heart of Darkness power warlord stuff going on because you have someone who's claiming to have divine power because they can do things like read. And it sounds bizarre, but that's honestly, that's what would happen. If I could have three wishes, I think that would probably be one of them, would be that I could wish everyone in Africa could read. That would be a really neat thing to wish, because there would be a whole jimmy whack of problems that would get solved if people could just read, and we could get that, you know, on the
go. Education for everyone.
You betcha. You betcha. But let's get into some cyberpunk kit, because, of course, when you're not stoning your kids out, you know, you definitely don't want to trust them at all. You don't want to talk straight to your kids. You don't want to give them any kind of, you know, personal sort of trust them. You know, don't trust them. So we have digital slavery has come in. Daddy, now this is great. This is a fantastic way to introduce a car-limiting technology under the guise of child safety. Daddy doesn't have to take the T-Bird away. He can just take all the fun out of driving it. That is, if the T-Bird is actually a Taurus. Ford's MyKey system has been engendering teen resentment since its release of the 2010 Focus, allowing parents to limit the max speeds, cap your radio volume, but parental control doesn't stop there. The 2011 MyKey can selectively block radio stations. Yeah! Radio stations.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm a Christian psycho, and I only want Christian radio stations in my car. Or I don't like hard rock stations. Starting next year, parents will have the option to block 16 Sirius radio channels from the car's dial. Among them, Howard Stern's Playboy, the Playboy channel on the radio? What?
What's that, 24 Hour Moaning? What is that?
What the fuck is that? What is on the Playboy radio channel? There's a Playboy... Like, I'm sorry, Segway. What the fuck? What is it, like, audio porn? Like, I guess if it was phone porn while you're driving. God, I wouldn't want to listen to that. That'd be distracting. It would be, yeah. Moving forward, optional radio censorship isn't the only new feature of the MyKey, which allows owners to program a key to fit their specific level of paranoia. The new version allows parents to set top speeds between 65 and 85 miles per hour instead of the previous fixed cap of 80 miles per hour. Other controls carrying over the original system, including a chime that sounds at 10 mile per hour intervals, starting at 45 miles per hour, and advance notice when fuel levels are low. The new features will come standard issue on the 2011 Ford Taurus and the Ford Explorer, and will eventually reach across both the Ford and Lincoln brands. So if you were buying domestic before, you couldn't pay me to have a domestic car now, but like I like Toyotas, but you know,
solve that by buying me a car with a crappy radio and a very low top speed, a Chevette. See, they didn't need to buy a super fancy car. You buy them a really crappy car that can't even drive those speeds.
I had a Chevette. They are awesome. And you know what? And be real, man. Chevettes go. Maybe it's because they're so little and you're close to the ground. But did you feel like you were
very
doing
light?
Like, you felt like you were doing like 2,000 miles an hour. You're like, man, you know, you're flying along.
When you pile five of your, it barely goes up the hill.
And God love them though. But it would work, eh? It would work.
Like,
God, you couldn't do that with cars today, man. You know, couldn't do it.
No.
Couldn't do it. But that's like, wow. Like, I just...
Well, yeah, if you can't trust your kids, you know, put restrictions on them by digital locks.
Dude, if I don't trust my kids, you're not getting the fucking car. I'm sorry. If I don't trust my kid, you're not driving the car. You know, I don't care if it's my key, your key, any key. You're not getting a car. Screw you, hippie. Here's a bike. Go green.
Only letting them have to phone three people on their cell phone. It's like, just don't give them the cell phone if you don't trust them with the cell phone.
That's retarded.
Don't give them a computer if you don't trust them with a computer.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and if you're at that level with your kids, I mean, basically, you fucking failed as a parent. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah, fucked it. You blew that off.
Corporate and governmental censorship in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and as kids get used to this, first it was mom and dad telling me how fast I could drive. Now it's the state. You know, I guess that's one way to introduce that sort of legislation.
Me what websites I can't go to.
Yeah. You know, why not? What the hell? Free speech? What's that? Why even bother? Why even bother? It's too much effort. this is kind of neat. China has shown up with a stealth jet. Now, this is kind of a big deal. I know you're not so up on this, but stealth technology has been spreading all over the world. And now China's in the game. While Russia developed a fifth-gen fighter, the Sukhoi PAK-FA, which remains to be seen how long it will take the Russian jet. China, on the other hand, is on the rise and seems to be quickly getting better and better at everything it does, from cyber war and IT to perhaps building and fielding fighters. And on through this link here, you click through it, you'll find that there's actually a picture of what they think is the Chinese stealth jet. And one of the shots, it's really funny, because they're both pictures taken at distance from like a tree line of an airfield, and one of the pictures on the page is actually Buddy shooting through branches at the jet. It's about the most spy-looking photograph I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, dude, I don't know if you're like a private guy or whatever, but that's I would not want to get caught on a Chinese airfield taking pictures of the stealth jet. That would not be a place I would want to get caught. So, kids, do not try that shit at home. Unless, well...
If he stepped just a little bit to the right and ducked down just a little bit, he wouldn't have the branch in front of this jet. He would have been paid a little bit more money.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Or maybe he didn't know what it was, and it was like a chance encounter. Oh, hey, there's a picture of a jet, and he snapped it. And go from there. That's probably more the case, because I doubt anyone would be able to get that kind of security. But interesting stuff for all you... Because jets are cool. I'm sorry. Flying thing. Yep. Very cool. I love jets.
Fast. Yeah.
They're fast. Advanced technology. They're pretty neat, man. I mean, if you had to point at a piece of tech and say, yeah, man, that's like what it's about, jets are pretty good. They're pretty sexy, you know, as far as tech goes. A lot of... Yep.
I mean, just below something that goes into space. That's about as cool as it gets on Earth.
Well, I don't see a lot of, like, long-haul trucking simulators. I don't see a lot of, like, bulldozer simulators. But I do see a lot of flight simulators, you know? So it's a pretty pretty cool thing to do. Today's daily hacks, I got two of them. One is the tinfoil hat recall. Now, this is great, from Creasel. Among a fringe community of paranoids, aluminum helmets serve as a protective measure of choice against invasive radio signals. Indeed, I've also done this myself. I've shown people how to do it. We've investigated the efficiency of these aluminum helmets designs with a sample group of four individuals. Using a $250,000 network analyzer, we found that although, on average, all helmets attenuate invasive radio frequencies in either directions, either emanating from an outside source, emanating from or cranium of the subject, certain frequencies are in fact greatly amplified. So it's like, holy crap. These amplified frequencies coincide with radio bands reserved for the government's use, according to the Federal Communications FCC. Statistical evidence suggests the use of helmets may in fact enhance the government's invasive abilities. We speculate that the government may in fact have started the helmet craze for this very reason. So,
there you go. That makes sense.
It does. So tinfoil hats, no more. Don't
take them off.
Don't do that. I'm very sorry. We didn't know. So, in fact, the voices in your head will be made worse. But instead of the tinfoil hat, you can check out the Disconnect sent in by Xerxes. A browser extension that stops major third parties and search engines from tracking the web pages that you go to and searches that you do. And I think it's mostly for Chrome. And I don't believe it's for Firefox, but they have the logo there on the page. Very interesting stuff. So it's a good way to, you know, kind of try to, you know, don't go gently into that good night. You know, you can try to stem the flow a little bit of everyone tracking your data. And the thing that gets me is this, you know, everybody at my work and everywhere I'm at, they're all talking about this new Microsoft motion tracking thing that they got, which is essentially a webcam that you don't have control of in your house, is what it is. The Xbox Vizio, or not Vizio, it's some kind of motion controlling thing.
Something.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's basically a webcam that you don't control in your house, is what it is. And they're doing marketing data. I did a story on it. It's wide open, and they can look through the camera in your house under the guise of playing a video game. Yeah. I'm just like, and everyone who comes up to say, yeah, have you played it yet? And I'm like, you know, that's a webcam, right? That you don't have control of, right? Like, it's a camera in your house, man. You know?
they convinced us to carry around tracking devices 24/7. What's the next step? It has to be a webcam in your living room, right?
I guess.
I mean, we've gone I guess. That far. Why not push it a bit?
Sure. Sure. While we're at it, why don't you dope my kid out a bit more? That'd be great. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, get it up to 50% from 25. Shoot for the moon.
Yeah. Shoot for the moon. Yeah. Yeah, well said, Simmy. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by going to the Rant Media website. Check out some of our merchandise. It's all kinds of this show. If you don't want to go through the hassle of going and downloading everything, they can purchase Newsreel, can they not? If they wish to purchase the DVDs, we have DVDs of Newsreel, or CDs rather, of Newsreel. Simi?
No.
We don't.
Them. No, they can just download them.
They can download them. Right. Why do that? But we do have a lot of other CDs of video. We have an ocean of video, which is far better than audio, and you should watch that while you're driving anyway. God help me, I'm trying to save this. So, you know.
Yes, we've got Escape TV, we've got Patrolling, hours and hours of goodness of Sean being funny in front of the camera, lots of bonus features, commentary to everything. It's a good deal.
It is a good deal. So, bang for the buck, Rant Media, no one touches us. No one touches us. For the little bit of money you spend with us, it's far better than all the money you gave to them for Tron, which, you know.
Yes, unless you bought the soundtrack.
I gotta say, the soundtrack, it was funny because you were like, yeah, the end credits and the soundtrack, and I'm like, man, you're really reaching for it if all you can find good to say
awesome.
About that movie is font.
It was really good.
The music was goddamn good. You know, I didn't really, there's a lot to process in that film.
Did the whole thing.
Yeah. And the blonde chick that's in there, the one who's like in the bar, she's hot. She's really hot.
Dark-haired.
Yeah. I can't remember her name, but she was hot.
The dark-haired one.
No, there's the dark-haired one, but then there's the blonde one who hung out with the guy in the bar who sort of helped him, and she was like a little droid chick or whatever. Yeah, she was hot. I thought she was totally hot. Yeah, I did.
Not for blonde, so you can have her.
Fine. Outstanding. Win. Full win. So that works out well. Getting back to the donate thing, you can send that blonde to Box 95089-37 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And, of course, big shouts out to the Army of the Flying Monkeys, Wogs Everywhere, for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@ranradio.com. And be sure sign up for the Rant newsletter by getting in touch with Simi over there at info@rantradio.com. And, of course, music in the background. Make sure you check out some Psytrance, some of the best music ever made. I'm going to fade out now from a track which was sent in by Lauren Law, which I hadn't heard from in a while, but it's MC Frontalot, First World Problem, which is really, really great. You click, it's just a good tune, and they talk about all these first world problems that we have, which is pretty true and kind of gets back to that whole chocolate Africa story. Simi, anything you got going on, man? Any big announcements? Any shit happening with the Pirate Party we need to know about in case there's a little bit of crossover?
Pirate Party, no, but the Rant Me coming up in Vancouver, we're going to have it on January 8th.
That's right.
Which is a Saturday, because 12-year anniversary. It's not going to be a big party like we planned, because everybody's poor, but hang out with us. So that's January 8th on the Saturday. That was the original date of the 12-year anniversary.
Good to know.
So I'm going to put in the four. We're going to meet up. It might be a little bit earlier because it's really dark out nowadays.
Yes.
And the light would be nice to hang out in.
Yes.
So maybe a little bit earlier, but go check out the forums, and I might post it in Facebook, but definitely the forums.
Okay, good deal. And how do they get to the forums? What's the address for that? Do we know?
Is forum.rantmedia.ca, I think. Let me just check that out. I'm pretty sure that redirects.
Well, it's forum?
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Okay, good deal. So, remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Nerd rap infest your internet. You left the trap, but it's empty. MC front a lot. Took a gate, but the bait wasn't tempting. Ending up uncaged and at large. To talk smack at you through the networking appliance that's in charge of every drip of your attention. Yo, when mine goes out, I've got to log in just to mention my disappointment at the interruption of convenience. I mean, just a lot left, but none up in between. This couple of minutes here, the couple of minutes later, it's an outrage at the price I pay. These dictators of my leisure rule with an iron fist. Has anybody ever been so put upon as this? Your GPS run out of battery.
First world problem.
Got to wake up Saturday.
First world problem.
You just delayed the honeymoon.
First world problem.
Pledge season's coming soon.
First world problem.
Half your friend list is spam account.
First world problem.
And you sent the channel speakers out.
First world problem.
You sent the channel speakers out. I can hear that it's not on.
Muffy, my hairy growth cream is mostly ineffective, and I'm struggling to keep this in perspective. But I feel like a massive injustice occurred. Says regrows hair on the two in the words. In a third or maybe a quarter of all users, I must have got swindled. Is it a fault of oozes? Ooh, Muffy, I had all the servants tortured. Did you keep them on retainer? Did you got some more on order? Cause I can't comb my hair on my own no more. I got accustomed to the lifestyle, sniffed upon the spore, and it molded up my innards, made the blood turn blue. Muffy, there's a revolution. What can I do? Misplaced the ambient.
First world problem.
Left a participle dangling.
First world problem.
You're scheduling your root canal.
First world problem.
Your grad schooling had no rationale.
First world problem.
You didn't like your appetizer.
First world problem.
Your yacht got capsized.
First world problem.
Your yacht got capsized. The first world problem you have with your yacht.
The living conditions of the American masses, that's you, are swiftly deteriorating. Our generation is going through the final convulsions of the dying world of capitalism. That's what it says here. And if you don't believe that pamphlet, try this one.
While our capitalism is in a minor kerfuffle, you have to hustle before the fates come reshuffle. Rustle up another couple grievances and air 'em. You can laugh about it later, maybe. Needed all the sparing for the moment, though. You ordered half-calf, didn't get it. There was no TV set when you jetted. Internet resetted itself just as I was in the middle of tournament play. And so I suffered from transmittal interruption. Completely ruined my day. MC front a lot's a jackass, all I'm trying to say. People buy CDs in these days of disaster. So poor me, I have to be a professional rapper. No bubbles in the soda cup.
First world problem.
App crash when you load it up.
First world problem.
Phone's OS is out of date.
First world problem.
Colors won't calibrate.
First world problem.
They never stock the snack you want.
First world problem.
Caught herpes from a sebutan.
First world problem.
You caught herpes from a sebutan. That magnificent creature.
Got wall hacked in PvP.
First world problem.
Oh no, HD DVD.
First world problem.
Pixels aren't perfect square.
First world problem.
Your favorite rapper isn't debonair.
First world problem.
You own too many underwear.
First world problem.
And you're not much of a millionaire.
First world problem.